News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
Now, as mentioned previously, we are now joined by newly appointed Minister of State for European Affairs and Defence, Jennifer Carroll McNeill. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Congratulations. When did you find out?
Yesterday. The Taoiseach asked me to come over along with people who are in the Cabinet to talk about an expanded role in European affairs, given what's happening in Europe. And so I'll be Minister of State across the Taoiseach's Office, Foreign Affairs and Defence.
Excited to get stuck in, or how do you feel about it?
I actually can't wait to get to my desk and get into my briefs, get to see my diary. I think there's a European Council meeting next week, the preparatory work for that. So I'm really, really excited about the work. I think it's a very serious time in Europe. There are a lot of different challenges with Palestine, most importantly, what Ireland is trying to do to recognise the state of Palestine, what we're doing in relation to Ukraine and the try to rearm Ukraine and the support for Ukraine and the concerns that our friends in Nordic Baltic countries have around further Russian aggression.
There are countries within Europe that have said that we could be facing war, that we are potentially heading into a war footing.
Well, the outgoing Taoiseach Leo Varadkar recognised that in his speech yesterday. So we are part of a Nordic-Baltic group of friendly countries. And it is certainly the case, and indeed I saw it myself in my own travels, that Poland, the Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia, Finland, our friends in these countries are very, very seriously concerned. And I think it is something that we're going to have to lean into a little further to understand their concerns and the pressures that they're under right on that border. But the Taoiseach said yesterday, the outgoing Taoiseach said, you know, I hope all of my friends are very wrong, essentially, in their analysis of this. But I think it is something that we're going to have to carefully note
and notwithstanding our neutrality, should it be the case that, never mind NATO, but an EU country is attacked, what would Ireland's position be then? What would we do?
We certainly have to reflect on how we're going to, we're already participating in various, including NATO support missions in terms of how to demine, you know, which is a really important thing.
We have roles that are limited in a different way.
And the same within Europe. But there's a broader pan-European conversation about how to coordinate defence spending, how to coordinate defence operations and procurement, and what that's going to look like over time. Nobody particularly wants to have that conversation, but there is a different geopolitical reality on the European continent, as there is a different geopolitical instability between Israel-Palestine, the Straits of Taiwan. And it is something, I think, very unfortunately, and I hope that this proves to be fruitless, but it is something that we are going to have to consider in more detail here, and probably have, and it's good to talk about it this morning, a more ongoing conversation about watching what's happening in the rest of Europe.
Is it tenable for us to remain neutral if other EU countries are at war, having been attacked?
I think, you know, I hope that we never get to those positions, but I think that it is now that is the time to be reflecting on what our European neighbours are saying, to be internalising that as a people, to be being aware of what's happening.
But that question, the tenability of our neutrality, is that going to be an issue?
But of course, we are not involved in military alliances like NATO. There's no prospect of But we are in political alliances. And there's no question but that we are not politically neutral when it comes to the invasion of Ukraine. And I think it's very important that we will maintain that position.
Coming back to politics in general, were you disappointed you weren't made Minister for Justice?
No, not at all. I'm actually very, very excited about this role. I know you should always want to be in cabinet, et cetera, but to be honest with you, from my perspective...
The reason I asked that very specific question is... Your name was definitely in the ether for that role.
Ah, yeah. And you know what? There's nothing better than a good bit of political speculation around jobs and jobs and jobs. But I think if you know, even in the short conversation we've had there about European affairs, while I was working in the Department of Finance, and there's very important work to be done there, this is a huge personal and, you know, political interest of mine. And I am very excited to be doing this role for the period that is left of the mandate of this government. So I'm genuinely personally excited to do this, and I can't wait to get to my desk.
A relatively conservative reshuffle, though. As I said, Minister for Justice was not moved. There was a lot of conversations around that. A lot of conversations about trying to balance the issues of gender and geography. I know you'll never answer the question, did the Taoiseach get it right? But it wasn't a very broad, sweeping reshuffle.
But I think, to be fair, the Taoiseach, and he said this in advance, is no matter what he did, somebody was going to criticise him. And there are very few spots available for the Taoiseach, the Fine Gael Taoiseach, to choose in cabinet. And I think he has actually chosen a balance that reflects his particular concerns at the moment, which are particularly around small business. Peter Burke, as an accountant, is a fantastically strong, solid worker. I think he will bring a really good perspective to the Department of Enterprise. Patrick O'Donovan in Limerick West. I was in Limerick West with Patrick. The conversations around farming, the conversations around the concerns of rural Ireland are hugely important to Fine Gael, hugely important to Simon Harris. And I think it's fantastic to have Patrick at Cabinet table now to be able to articulate and reflect some of those concerns. And yes, a different day, he might have chosen a different balance. And that's OK. But I think it reflects the concerns that he has at the moment. And I think it's a really good team.
Yeah, Albert Reynolds fired 8 ministers and 9 junior ministers at one stage. Simon fired nobody. Is that the Taoiseach's way, that he likes to keep his friends close and his enemies closer?
Well, he's only had, you know, one opportunity. And I think yesterday he's handled everything, you know, in his way, making his set of decisions. And no matter what he did, whether he put one person here or one person there, he was going to be criticised in some way for it. I think what's more important now is that everybody has their jobs, and like me, they're racing to get to their desks, to get on with the work for
Fine Gael,
people. You know?
Though you are at something of a crossroads. I mean, a huge number of your sitting TDs will not be there at the next election. You'll have to bring in a lot of new faces. It's quite hard to get elected first time out. Are you going to see a massive shrinking, do you think, in your numbers in the next dole?
I don't think so. I think there's an awful lot of energy around people who are contesting conventions to be Fine Gael candidates. It's a competitive process to be a Fine Gael candidate.
That's in-house, but to the public, they won't necessarily know these people very well.
That's true, but I wasn't known to the people of Dunleary prior to 2019. I wasn't on the political scene at all. I became a councillor. I became a first-time TD in 2020, and I hope that I have worked very hard for the people of Dunleary. I hope that I've worked very hard in the briefs that I've had.
Elections will bring in some potential new TDs for the future.
I believe so, and as well as solidify the position of councillors that have already been working very hard in their communities. So I think all political parties go through a period of renewal and refresh at some time. But I hope you can hear the energy that I have for my job.
And a lot of people are talking about the energy, and they're talking about Simon Harris's energy and all of that. But equally as important to energy is policy. We appear to be at some kind of a crux in terms of Irish politics in general, not just Fine Gael politics, about whether or not there is going to be a new conservatism, a new movement in that sort of direction. That would have been Fine Gael's old bailiwick before you became, as a party, more liberal. Will we see a return to Fine Gael's grassroots? There has been some suggestion that's what you should do.
I'm not exactly sure.
You know what I'm asking you? Law and order, a little bit more conservative in their view, a little bit less woke, as the term that is always bandied about is.
Which I think is a ridiculous term, to be honest with you. I mean, what we have done in Fine Gael, when I started working for Fine Gael in 2007, marriage equality wasn't on the table. Women's healthcare in terms of reproductive healthcare really wasn't on the table. I think Fine Gael is a good broad church of opinion, and it has moved, as Ireland has very decently moved, both towards those things.
Well, if it's moving,
I do think in recent
tandem with Ireland, if Ireland is moving to become maybe, and it would appear to be more concerned about things like migration and things like that, Ireland appears to be moving. Ireland voted no very resoundingly in the last two referendums. If Ireland is moving, is Fine Gael going to move? If Ireland's becoming more conservative, Fine Gael will do the same?
Well, I'm not sure those two things are linked all that well. I mean, the migration question is being dealt with at European Union level, and there is a new migration pact, and there is no question but that we want to have very firm rules in relation to migration. I think Irish people want to see people coming here who have work visas, student visas, and entitlement to be here. There is no question but that our population is growing, but we actually needed to grow an awful lot more in order to have the skills to be able to staff the jobs that are here. In my area in insurance, one of the things that's putting up car insurance is that we can't get enough panel beaters working in garages to be able to do repairs quickly, which means that you're getting a hire car for 3 weeks instead of 1 week. And all of these things are added to cost, not having labour. So what I'm saying, though, forgive me, is that we do need
migration
people.
Is absolutely needed.
And we need to,
most people,
to be regulated. It needs to be strong. There's no question. But we also do need
rules-based. All of that. Okay. Yeah. Lastly, you mentioned insurance, and I'm glad you did. Very briefly, are we going to see a fall anytime soon that people will recognise in their pockets on the basis of the case yesterday in the courts that would have seen insurance companies maybe a stop put to their gallop? It seems to me people feel that no matter what happens in terms of insurance, their premiums just go up.
So I think the case yesterday was very important in making sure that the reforms, this was a challenge to the reforms that we've already put in place. And the reforms that we'd already put in place have brought motor insurance down by 25% over the last number of years. Now it's beginning to creep back up, precisely as I said, because of the inflationary pressures. But in terms of the awards that people were getting for injuries, they were coming down. And and that meant a difference for people's premiums. No question, the central bank showed the data of it all coming down. House price inflation insurance is going up because of general inflation, but even against an inflationary environment last year, in the last couple of years, car insurance was coming down because of the reform programme. I want to see the same now, in particular in relation to small business. We made a major change last year in July, which is more important than anything else in the law, which says if you slip, trip or fall in a cafe or a hotel or a pub, it really is your fault in a way that before it was almost always the business's fault, even when it was very definitely your fault. And that there's a different balance in relation to personal responsibility. So this culture of slips, trips and falls went on for far too long. We have put a stop to it legally. And I expect to see a difference in business insurance. Already I'm seeing it. We have three insurance companies now that have moved back into providing insurance and hospitality. I am talking to businesses. I talked to a restaurateur in Kildare yesterday.
Yeah, so it wasn't just about premiums, it was actually providing.
Yeah, it was. It was about competition. Right. But he has four businesses in Kildare, and in every single one of them, insurance premiums came down this year and he had more competition.
Appointed Minister of State for European Affairs and Defence, Jennifer Cara McNeill. Thank you very much for joining us.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.